Turn your Bibles, we'll go to Acts chapter 23. Acts chapter 23. The Apostle Paul is here before Agrippa, and I'm sorry, that's not right. It is Acts chapter 23, but he's here before these and that are there. He's been taken to Caesarea, and he stands before, or he's actually in Jerusalem, standing before the Sanhedrin, and he is there giving an answer about these things he's been accused of. He's been taken captive in Jerusalem, and there's Pharisees and Sadducees there, and our focus for this morning is this verse in Acts chapter 23, verse number 8. He says some things and divides them and that, and later on he has regret maybe that he has done that. But it says here, "For the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both," or all, okay? Don't let that trouble you that it says both. But there's three things here that this religious sect say are not so. The Pharisees say that there's no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit. And I invite you to turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 22. Let's take a look and read a passage over here in the Gospels. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22, we'll start here in verse number 23. Matthew chapter 22, verse number 23. "The same day came to him," that is, came to Jesus, "the Sadducees." Okay, so we read something about them over there in Acts 4, Acts 23, rather. "The same day came to him the Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection, and ask him, saying, 'Master, Moses said, if a man die, having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were with us seven brethren. The first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue or no children, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise the second also, and the third unto the seventh. And last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her.'" Jesus, in verse number 29, it says, "Jesus answered and said unto them, 'Ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God.'" Hold on to that. Remember that. "For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, 'I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living.' And when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day, and we thank you for your blessings upon us. Lord, your help and blessings through the past week have been great, and we thank you for them. We thank you for this privilege to meet together with your people, your house, Father, to worship you. We thank you for the church that you've blessed with here and that you've added us to. And Lord, we pray for Olmsted Baptist Church that you would help us, that each one of us as members would take the place that you've made for us in the church. We'd hear you, believe you, trust you, and obey you in those things that you've given to us through your good word. And Father, we take them and apply them to our operation in the church and our service and worship of you. Father, we pray that you'd help us today. And Lord, help us as we worship you, that we might worship you in spirit and in truth. And Father, help us that we might be built up and edified as your children and your people. Father, for those that are here and not saved, even this morning, Lord, help them to see that the Scripture indeed contains the answer, every answer that they need. And it tells us about Christ. And Lord, it tells us of your great power. Help us, Father, that they would we'd be a good witness unto them. And Father, we pray that you give them faith to believe and trust in Christ. Help now, we pray, and just work them in our midst, Father, as you only can. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. And amen. Here we've read it over in Acts chapter 23 about what the Sadducees declared. They believed that there was no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit. These Sadducees come upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and of course they want to catch him in his words. They want to oppose things to him, even unreasonable things like this account. And we want to also take a look over here in Matthew chapter 12, where this same account is also told about in the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 12. And we pick it up here in verse number 18 in this same account. And we want to hear what the Lord taught them and us in the Gospels. A message this morning, the title of the message of this morning, The Great Error of Not Knowing the Scriptures and the Power of God. The Great Error in Not Knowing the Scriptures and the Power of God. In Mark chapter 12, verse number 18, and then come unto him the Sadducees. Then come unto him the Sadducees, which say there is no resurrection. And they ask him, saying, Master, Moses wrote unto us, if a man's brother die and leave his wife behind him and leave no children, that his brother should take his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. And indeed, that is what the Lord gave unto the nation of Israel. So there would be a continuance in the inheritance that the Lord gave unto the tribes. Culturally, we would look at this in our day, and we do not do this, and nor do I believe that we should do this. This was something that was given to them, that there would be a continuance. The Lord was establishing his nation, and he gave rules for such. And this is not a wicked or salacious, terrible type kind of thing, but it was the Lord's provision when it would be such, when there would be no children coming from a marriage, that children would be raised up. The Lord gave that, and he gave that to them, and he gave that to them for that time and for that nation. In this day, the Sadducees are bringing this up. They kind of have their tongue in their cheek. They're kind of got a smirk on their face, and they're looking to take the Word of God, and they want to take it and use it against the Lord Jesus Christ. But again, the Lord Jesus Christ points them to what they need, not the thing that they're looking to accomplish. And so this is in the Scripture, and it was given for that day and for the nation and for the purpose that God had said. And so then they take it and they even make it a thing that's just kind of, it's hard for us to consider this. And so we want to deal with that. We want to face that and know, understand their attitude about it. And so this is it written in the law, they say unto the Lord. Moses gave us this. Verse 20, now here's the scenario. There were seven brethren, and the first took a wife and had no children, and dying left no seed. And the second took her, which was what was given according to the law, and died and didn't leave any seed. And the third likewise. So on that there were seven brothers that did this. The seven had her, verse number 22, and left no seed. Last of all, the woman died also. So seven brethren, each in turn had this woman to wife as they died, and there was no children that came from it. So they have this scenario, really a terrible kind of thing for them to present. Their hearts are not right, as obvious by the way that they have made this scenario. It's just not appropriate. It's just not. It totally takes what the Lord gave and what the Lord gave unto Israel for it to be, for there being a continuing of the nation and those different households. And they've just turned it into kind of a nasty thing, a nasty consideration. They have. But they have a purpose in this. In the resurrection, verse number 23, you can see the Sadducees. You know, they come feigning that they believe in the resurrection. They are faking that they believe in the resurrection when they don't. And you know what? We need to be honest in our speech. We need to be honest in our speech, and we need to be forthright. We don't need to represent something that we're not. We need to be, as talking to a fellow yesterday, we need to be one person here, one person at home, one person at work, not many different people, but we need to be one person. And so here they say, and you can kind of see the smirk on their face, the one that's speaking, in the resurrection, therefore. They don't believe in the resurrection. They have no looking towards the resurrection, and they have no desire for the resurrection. They are self-righteous. As Brother Stephen pointed out about the Pharisee this morning, they're self-righteous. They are wise in their own conceits, their self-knowledge, and they just look to challenge the Lord. And praise be to God, the Word gave them the Word, didn't He? In the resurrection, therefore, when they shall rise, and you can see them telling about, they don't believe it. They don't believe it's going to be the case. Whose wife shall she be of them? Okay, this resurrection, these seven brethren with this one woman having her to each one of them to wife. Whose wife is she going to be then? Whose wife is she going to be then, Rabbi? For the seven had her to wife. And Jesus answers them, as the Lord always does. He answers them to their need, not their folly, not their wickedness, but He answers them to their need. And Jesus answering said unto them, Do ye not therefore err? Because ye know not the Scriptures, number one, neither the power of God, number two. Fellas, you are in error. The Lord poses this as a question. Do ye not therefore err? And that is that's a Middle Eastern way, a Palestinian, a Palestine, a Middle Eastern Palestinian way of an Asian way of teaching, to ask questions, to pose a question to one. And we see that in the Scriptures a lot. We see our Lord Jesus doing that a lot. A stirring of the mind, a stirring of the heart by a question that's going to direct towards the instruction, the answer that's needed. Aren't you fellas in error? Don't you know full well that you're in error? Do ye not therefore err, because ye know not the Scriptures? He asked them this question, do they not know the Scriptures? Again, these fellows are Sadducees. They're in their sect. They're kind of like the counterpart of a sect. And we know in the Pharisees, a ruler of the Pharisees came by night into the Lord Jesus Christ, named Nicodemus. These fellows are in the same line. They're on par with one another in a different sect. And it's kind of like the Lord dealt with Nicodemus there. Don't you know the way things really are? Don't you know? What's the Lord Jesus Christ point them to? You don't know the Scriptures. Aren't you in error because you don't know and listen to the Scriptures? The Scriptures. Jesus is saying, you can get the answer to your question and every need that you have from the Scriptures. And of course, at that time, they just had the Old Testament Scriptures. But the Lord Jesus Christ is putting a great emphasis on the Scriptures. That's where you can know the answer to this question that you have and everything else that you have and you need. Are you not in error because you know not the Scriptures? And doesn't the Lord go on and say, because you know not the Scriptures, verse 24, neither do you know the power of God? Because you don't know what those good scrolls, it wasn't a form of a book then, was it? Because you don't know what those scrolls, what that word, what those Scriptures, what those writings of the prophets say. Because you don't know the content of the Scriptures, you also do not know the power of God. Now listen to that. Hear that. The Lord Jesus is saying, if we know the Scriptures, and we know what our Lord has said to us in the Scriptures, by them we can indeed know the power of God. But they do not. Do ye not therefore err, because ye know not the Scriptures? Do ye not therefore err, because you don't know the Scriptures, neither do you know the power of God? Verse number 25. For when they shall rise from the dead. Punch number one. Remember what is written by Brother Luke over in Acts 23? That the Sadducees say there is no resurrection. But what has Jesus said? Jesus has said plainly, for when they shall rise from the dead. The Lord Jesus says there is a resurrection. There is a resurrection. Jesus says plainly, there is a resurrection. You birds that have come to me with this question and this scenario, you can know from the Scriptures that there is a resurrection. They've taken the Scriptures, they've doubted the Word of God, they've doubted the testimony and the account of the Scriptures, even historically. They've taken it and they've turned it into something else that it is not. And they have denied that life that the Lord does give in the resurrection. For when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage. So he says, after the resurrection, it's going to be different. It won't be a thing of households being intact. Men and women continuing on in marriage through eternity. I think and or wonder that we will know about some of our relationships in this life. And it won't be a thing that it'll be a loss. It will not be a loss. Jesus will be the answer to everything in glory. He'll be the answer to everything. I love Clarissa, and we're married. We've been married for 26 years. And I'm glad that she's my wife. I'm thankful for her. She's a blessing from God and to me. I love her. And I like to be around her. And I like her to be around me. But you know what? It's no shorting of our marriage and our relationship and the blessing that the Lord's given us here in this life with that for us to not be married in eternity. I'm not being shorted. She's not being shorted. That's the design of God. Let us put things in their right perspective and let us hold the things that the Lord has given us in the time and in the place that He's given them to us. That's a blessing for now. But we're not going to be married in eternity. We're not going to be marrying and giving in marriage in eternity. We will, if you will, in a sense, in a great sense, be married to our Lord. And we will know as we are known. And whatever, however the Lord has and His design and what we can remember and know from this life, it'll be in its right place and it'll be good. But the fulfillment that we have now on this earth of being married and marriage and family and having children and grandchildren and all that, that's for this time and it's in its right place and it's good. But our Lord will fill all of that then. And it's no slight in either case. May we put things right. May our Lord help us. In the resurrection, when they shall rise from the dead, the Lord is very plain, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven. Remember that the Scripture and the Lord refers to us as sons. Brother Jim, I'm a she. I'm a sister. Don't worry about that. You're a son of God. And in there, and in glory, after the resurrection, when we're with the Lord, not only do they marry or are given in marriage, we will not, but are as the angels which are in heaven. As the angels, a whole message, a few messages could be preached about that. Think about the glory that is given unto the angels in their creation, in their being. You think about the ability of the angels to minister unto the saints and perform the will of the Lord in an instant. They're focused totally on what the Lord wants done. They never tire. They never grow weary. They don't have little baby angels because they don't marry. So beware of things that this world likes to turn things into. Every angel that I see in the Scripture is mighty and well able. Every angel that we have named has a male gender name. That's the way that it is. Well, is that a slight upon women? No, by no means. It's the design of the Lord for the time and the place in which we find ourselves. It's necessary for there to be men and women. And men and women in marriage complement one another. And from that, in marriage, we have children and the rearing of children, which children need a mother, children need a father. But that way, and it's necessary for the filling of the earth and the Lord's design. But there'll not be a need for the filling of the earth. The Lord will have filled it with His children. Amen? See that? And so He blows this away also about their claim that there is no angel, as we read in Acts 23, verse number 8. And I like that, how the Lord does that. For when they shall rise from the dead, resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, your scenario, let's brush that off to the side, we don't need to deal with that, but are as the angels which are in heaven. Boom, boom, boom. The Lord, he deals with it and instructs them at the same time. Verse 26. Here's really the thing that needs to be understood. Here's really the thing that they need, these Sadducees that have come to the Lord. Is this thing of life? Do you have life? You know, the Sadducees, we sing a song about them, and the children, we teach the children a song about them, and indeed, we say that they are sad, you see, because they just don't have much, do they? No resurrection, no angel, no spirit. What do they have? Indeed, they are sad, you see. They are sad. And it's touching the dead, verse number 26, that they rise. So then the Lord makes a yet another emphasis on it, doesn't he? He makes it plain that he may not be misunderstood. As touching the dead, that they rise, life is implied. Have ye not read in the book of Moses? What's the book of Moses? The Scripture. The Scripture. Just by reading every account in the Scripture, you can learn something about the way things truly are. You can learn what? From the Word, from the Scripture. The truth. The truth. And it's touching the dead that they rise. Have you not read in the book of Moses how in the bush God spake unto... Why would we talk about the Lord speaking to Moses in the bush? How is that pertinent to the subject at hand? Well, it is. The Scripture. The Word of God is alive. It's alive in every way, and it speaks to us in every little detail. And granted, we should not take the Scripture and make something out of it that it's not. A spiritualization of the Scripture can really get us in trouble. We need to watch that. We need to take the Scripture literally. Always first take it literally. If there is allegory or if there is metaphor, we look to that and we look for Scripture to interpret Scripture and such as that. And there is what's given, and then there's many applications many times to the Scripture. But we must be careful with handling the Scripture. But this direct thing, have you not read in the book of Moses how that in the bush God spake unto him, saying... Let's turn over to Exodus chapter 3 quickly. Exodus chapter 3. From this, and notice this, what does the Lord Jesus do in this? He takes them back to the beginning of Moses, doesn't he? Isn't that something? They would say that they hold to the writings of Moses and all this that was given by Moses and the other prophets, and the Lord takes them back to the beginning. of the ministry of Moses, to his calling by the Lord. To their shame, they haven't even learned the basic foundational fare of the ministry of Moses, even from the beginning. Verse number 1 of Exodus chapter 3. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. He's by himself, isn't he? And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, here's the verse that we're after, I am. The great I am is speaking again. He says, I am the God of thy father. Moses is daddy. I'm his God. I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. What did the Lord tell him? I am the God of your father, Moses. And I am the God, you hear that? I am the God of Abraham right now. He doesn't say, I was the God of your dead daddy. He doesn't say, I was the God of dead Abraham. Our Lord doesn't say, I was the God of Isaac, who is dead. He doesn't say, I was the God of Jacob, who has since passed on from this life, dead. But he says, I am. I am. We come back to Mark chapter 12, in verse number 26. And it's touching the dead that they rise. Have you not read in the book of Moses how in the bush God spake unto him, saying, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob? Remember that the Sadducees, they don't confess and they don't believe. They say that there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit. Where is Sister Sarah right now? Our dear sister passed on from this life a couple of weeks ago and went on to be with her Lord and Savior by her own testimony and witness. Where is she? Well, by her testimony and by what the Word of God says, she's with our Lord. Now, her body has been buried out here in the cemetery, as it should be buried. Yet she's alive. How is she alive? Does she have a body? Well, yes, and mostly no. Is she alive? Indeed, she is. She is with our Lord, isn't she? See, there is that which is spiritual. There is a spirit. And you know, I trust you know the passages that tell us that one day, whether we go by the grave or we go by the rapture, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes and raptures us out of this world, we will be given new bodies. And then we will be complete, won't we? But how is it that we live until then? those that have died, those, as the Scriptures say, are asleep in the Lord. Well, they're not sleeping. They're with the Lord in glory, aren't they? And so the Lord deals with them also about this of the Spirit, doesn't he? He tells them, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are alive right now. And I am their God. See, the Lord is the ever-present, the ever-self-existent one. He is the great I am. Our Lord deals and lives in eternity, the Scripture tells us in Isaiah, and He is in the ever-present now. We, you and I, are subject here to time. But our Lord has made time. If you will, time is at His footstool. And our brethren, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Lord declares, are with the Lord right now. I am their God. They are alive. And they are alive spiritually, in the Spirit, if you will, one day to receive that new body, the resurrection. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. In Matthew chapter 16, quickly, we turn over here. This same thing has been told, and the issue here that the Lord is dealing with this, with these Sadducees, is that of life. And listen, where the Lord is a couple occurrences where this same kind of emphasis is made. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They are alive. He's not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. He is life. In Matthew chapter 16, in verse number 16, the Lord asked the disciples, who do men say that I am? And then they answer, and then He asked them, who do you say that I am? And listen to our brother's answer here. It's interesting that Peter answers in both of these occasions. And he saith unto them, verse number 15 of Matthew 16, but whom say ye that I am? He's asked what the public believes, and then he asked them. And Simon Peter answering and said, thou art the Christ, the Savior, the Messiah, the Redeemer, the Son of the living God. You are the Son of God Almighty that lives forever. In John chapter 6, when the Lord's dealing with the free lunch crowd, and He deals with them. He tells them how much that He's needed, that they need Him. They need to identify. They need Him, His body and His blood, more than they need food. The disciples, many of the disciples go away, say it's a hard saying. It's not worth the free lunch. Our Lord asked the apostles in John 6, verse number 67, and Jesus said unto them, unto the 12, will you also go away? And listen to what the reply is again. See, our brethren, having been saved, they understand this about life, don't they? That in Him is life. And Simon Peter answered him again, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Verse 69, and we believe and are sure that Thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. God is alive. And those that are in Christ, those who are saved, that have died and their bodies have died and have gone on from this world, they are alive. And they are alive, their spirits are alive because of the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ and the saving of their soul. Back in Mark 12. Verse 26, and is touching the dead that they rise. Have you not read in the book of Moses how in the bush God spake unto him, saying, I am right now the God of Abraham? It was the case there when He spoke to Moses. It is the case when the Lord rehearses that passage again. I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. You Sadducees, the doctrine that you've taken up and not believing there is a resurrection, not believing that the angels exist, and not believing that there is a spirit, it is dishonoring to God and to His Word, because the Word bears out that all three are there. It goes on to say here, He is not the God of the dead. He is not the God of the dead. But He is indeed the God of the living. Because He is life. There's no other life that the Lord knows but eternal life. Because He lives forever. And He says here, Ye therefore do greatly err. So He starts off with the question, Do ye not therefore err? Because you don't know the Scriptures, neither the power of God by the Scriptures. He tells them these things out of the Scriptures, and then He makes a statement to them. Because you don't know the Scriptures, you don't know the power of God, and not knowing the Scriptures, and thereby not knowing the power of God, ye therefore do greatly err. The great error of not knowing and believing the Scriptures, and the great error by not knowing and believing the Scriptures, thereby not knowing the power of God. How is it with you? How is it with you? In Romans chapter 10, in conclusion, the apostle writes to this church, and we've reviewed this here in recent weeks, and a hallmark passage that is here in verse number 17, as he has told about how things work in reverse order, about sinners needing to call upon the Lord, and how will they call if they don't believe in one, and how will they believe if they do not hear, and how can one go to be heard and preach the good word of God unless they be sent? It is the working of God. And in verse number 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Oh, indeed, we do greatly err if we don't know the Scriptures, and thereby don't know the power of God. It is the Scriptures that bear out unto us and tell us the truth about the ability and the power of God. See, the Sadducees considered about the resurrection and said, they thought about it as a man. Who can do that? The Apostle Paul deals with that as he writes to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We have the summary there of the gospel, and then a great explanation, a great discourse about the resurrection. Just because we don't know how those bodies will be doesn't mean they won't be. But as the Lord makes fish, that he tells in that chapter, and as the Lord's made the substance of the earth, and as he's made the substance that the angels are, he can sure make a substance for us and make a body for us that will live eternally. See, they didn't understand about the Lord having everlasting life. They shorted God on His power that He could bestow how He is upon others. But our God is not limited. He does give life eternal unto His children. And then in John chapter 5, I think that this is a fitting verse, the Lord telling about how he's been given judgment. All judgment has been committed unto him of the Father, that he might be honored as the Father is. Kind of there, I think, the parallel being the Father is the Creator, and the Father is the one that Israel attributed to the one visiting them and taking them out of Egypt, leading them out of Egypt and providing Canaan for them and creating the nation in that. He's the beginning, in a sense. And the Father has given judgment unto the Son because He's the ending. And God is one God. But He talks to them about this, about judgment, and that each one will come forth at the word of the Lord in this chapter. But here in verse number 39, we read this. Search the Scriptures. he tells them. John 5:39. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Sinner, are you here without Christ as Savior? You need the content of the Scriptures. You need the Savior of the Scriptures. You need the power of God that's shown in the Scriptures. But it's because it's only by that Savior, by the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the great power of God that you can be saved and forgiven of your sins. You need the Lord. And the Scriptures tell about Him. Believe Him. Believe them. We as the children of God, may we not greatly err. Amen. May we know the Scriptures and thereby know the power of our God.